Welcome to the TWS Sports Podcast.
There's no heroes in Test cricket, son. Retire hurt.
Paul Gascoigne, he kept saying, do you need any shampoo, any conditioner?
My car stunk for about a week and I couldn't get rid of the smell.
But it turned out that the decanter of port had been donated to the owner of the hotel by Nelson Mandela upon his release from Robben Island, and someone had nicked it.
Hello, my name is Simon Laisby and I'm a presenter on Sky Sports. You may have seen me present sports such as the F1, international rugby, England cricket and golf from around the world. However, I wanted to come and give you some information about the TWS Sports Podcast. The TWS Sports Podcast is the only podcast in the UK which is hosted by autistic students who interview some of the biggest names in sport. Each week, they speak to a different sports person and delve deep into their lives, talking about the highs and the lows of their career and what makes them a top athlete in their sport. The TWS Sports Podcast were voted the best sports podcast in the world that promotes social equality. They picked up that honour at the 2021 Sports Podcast Awards. So if you're a sports fan and want to hear these great stories with questions from some amazing young people who promote autism, then the TWS Sports Podcast is the podcast for you.
Technowood School is a school for autistic children and young adults, and we have set up this podcast to provide our pupils with a fantastic opportunity to develop a range of skills whilst interviewing top sportsmen and women from a variety of different sports. Joining us today on the TWS Sports Podcast is the manager of the Wolves Women Football Team. Welcome to the podcast, Dan I'm so sorry!
It's okay.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Fine.
We'd like to start our podcast with some random questions before we start talking about your career. You ready?
Yep.
Who is the most famous person in your phone book?
Oh, that's a tough question. Most famous person in my phone book.
These aren't normal everyday questions, are they?
No, they're not. Definitely not. probably one of the Wolves women players. We'll say Anna Price.
Okay. If you could trade lives with anyone for a day, who would it be and why?
Oh, that would have to be probably Steven Gerrard. So growing up, he was one of my heroes. I looked up to him. Probably Steven Gerrard.
If you could have any superpower, what would you have and why?
Superpower? I think I'd like to... Is teleporting a superpower?
Yep, that's a superpower.
Okay, so I'd definitely do that so I can go and get across to as many countries for 5 or 10 minutes and see what they're like.
It's also a good, it'd also be a good trick for running away from people you don't really want to
talk
to.
There you go, exactly,
Like an angry parent. Thank you for answering those questions. Let's talk about your career. We want to take you back to the beginning and talk about your childhood. What are your memories of growing up, and was sport always a passion of yours?
Yeah, so football's always been a huge part of my life. Right the way back, as long as I can remember, in the garden with my mum and my dad. From quite a young age, I was quite a talented footballer, as my dad used to say, and I spent a lot of time in various academies back in the Northwest. So I was in at Everton, had trialling at Liverpool, I spent some time at Crewe Alexandra as well. I was in the same age group as Wayne Rooney. For a couple of years, so yeah, I've always been involved in football. So it's in the garden. I remember my Christmas presents used to be the latest Premier League football and stuff like that. So I've always been obsessed with it, that hasn't changed over the years. And 30 odd years later now, I'm still as involved in the game as I was back then, and a lot's happened from then to now.
This isn't a question from the script, but it's a question I tend to like to ask people who have something to do with football. Have you ever sent a ball through a window?
I think we all have. I think I can remember mine was Graham Williams. I used to play with Graham Williams at Frodsham Juniors, and we were playing on his front garden in Grasmere, and I upset his dad. Because I had a shot and it smashed the garage window.
It could have gone right through the house.
So I'll take this time to apologise to Graham and his dad. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay. You played non-league football but suffered a bad injury which ended your career. Where do you think your career could have gone if you didn't get injured?
Oh, I think it's a really good question, isn't it? I think in football you need a lot of luck, and you've also got to make it at the top level, you have to be really special. So I don't think I was ever destined for the very top, but I was quite young when I did my knee injury. As you said, I was playing at a decent level. So who knows? I think a lot of players often drop out of various academies and drop into non-league and then reignite their career and go back on to have a football league career. So I'm not too sure where it would have gone. I would have hoped it might have given me a career in football. I'm just thankful that I've refound football again a little bit later on, post sort of a bad knee injury, and now it's providing me with great opportunities in a different perspective as a manager and as a coach.
You joined the military at the age of 22. Why did you decide to do that? And can you talk to us about the process?
Yeah, so listen, when I joined the military at 22, it's probably the best decision I've ever made in my life, to be honest. Obviously, I was a plumbing and heating engineer back in the Northwest, and I needed to get away, probably is the best way to frame that. I needed to sort of have a fresh start, and the military seemed like a great way to go. So I can remember going into the AFCO, the Armed Forces Careers Office in Liverpool, the rest is history from there, really. It was quite a whirlwind. I think a lot of my family didn't think I would make it. I think they thought I'd be back after the basic training or not even complete the basic training. But I've shocked a few people, and 15 years later, I think I've got a lot to thank the military for. You know, they've put me through my coaching badges and give me the opportunity to do what I do today. You know, running Wolves Women is not an easy task. It's not something that can just be done in the evening. So, yeah, the RAF have helped me, given me the time and put a lot of effort in, and also instilled a lot of values in me that, you know, I think have helped me shape a really good group of young female players. You know, we talk a lot about Pearl or Dad Astra in the Air Force, which is through adversity to the stars. And I think that's challenged us over the last few years. You know, we talk about COVID and all the bad things and stuff that have happened to our group, and they still managed to come out on top and find a way to see the positives and get through adversity. So a lot to thank the military for, and it's definitely a career that I would push on anybody that's looking for a good pathway in their life.
Can you tell us any stories from your time in the military? You must have seen some amazing things, but also some not very nice things.
Yeah, again, it's another great question. I think I've seen both sides of the military, so I've been out to sort of amazing places like Abu Dhabi and Dubai and got
Abu
to...
Dhabi?
Yeah, Abu Dhabi, yeah. Or is it Abu Dhabi? Is that the better way?
I don't know, I've never heard of it.
Well, I've been out to sort of the Middle East and stuff and seen some amazing places. And then obviously I've also seen Afghan and experienced what it was like to be out at war and fighting for the country, and again that was amazing. That was one of the best periods I've
had. Lots of water there.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was hot. It was very hot.
Afghanistan's pretty much known for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. I think some days it was 50, 55 degrees. So,
and I think it's hot when my garden reaches 40.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But I mean, trying to work on aircraft and do your job in that kind of heat is tough. As I said, the military's given me some amazing memories across various different environments, shall we say, and I won't forget any of them.
What's it like balancing RAF duties with managing Wolves Women?
Really tough. It's been a really tough challenge over the last 3 years. You know, I'm really proud of the career that I have in the military, and I'd never want anything to affect that. So I've had to do a lot of balancing now. Obviously at Cosford I'm an instructor or a teacher, and I teach the next generation of aircraft technicians. So I've had to have a really good support network around me within the Air Force. I've had to, you know, I've got good bosses who are really understanding, but also they see the benefit of what I do at Wolves and how I can help and sort of utilise the skills that I get from the Air Force within Wolves Women, and also the other way around. You know, we can take some of the stuff that I do at Wolves and take it back into the service, whether that's into service football with my role with UK Armed Forces Women, or whether it's the RAF ladies that I used to work with. So I think it's about having good people around you and me understanding as well where I'm at my limits, because, you know, 80-hour weeks are not good for anybody, so I have to massively understand when I'm ready for a break. And I've also got to fit in...
take a nap.
Yeah, take a nap, yeah, but also fit in family as well. So, yeah, it's tough at times, but I definitely wouldn't change it.
I suggest taking your kids to work, but they might try and climb into stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Don't want to be taking them onto aircraft weapon jet loaded jets and stuff like that.
They might activate something by accident.
Yeah. And is it true that in 2018 you applied to be the manager of the first Wolves woman under 16 team and ending up managing the first team? How did that happen?
Yeah, so I got posted over here from Lincoln. I was at RAF Coningsby working on Typhoon jets, and I got posted to Cosford. And I did a seen the job at, I was working at Shrewsbury Town for a guy called Pete Wilson, who helped me find my first role in the West Midlands. And then I seen the job come up for the under-16s at Wolves, and I sent my CV in to a guy called Steve Cullis, who we've probably got a lot to thank for at the women's section. He was leading the programme then, and the manager had just been sacked. And they asked me to apply for the senior role. Obviously, I was quite shocked. I only went for the under-16s job, but obviously Steve had seen something on my CV that he'd liked. And next thing you know, I was in an interview with Steve and a couple of the other people that were in charge of the women, and I ended up getting the job. So it was a bit of a risk on my behalf, you know, and on Wolves' behalf, to be fair. I think we both took a risk, but I think 6 years on, it's massively paid off on my behalf, and I think the club would also agree we've managed to have some really good success over the last 6 years. So I think the moral of that is sometimes you've got to take a bit of a chance, a bit of a risk in life, and it might not be what you apply for or what you sign up for, but sometimes it gives you some of the best rewards that you could ask for.
Okay. During your time at Wolves manager, you have fought hard to ensure the women are treated as equals. You were vital to ensuring the women's team trained here at Compton, where the club open to these changes for the women?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, although it's often easy for me to take the plaudits as the manager, but I think it goes far beyond me. I think a couple of the people that we've just met in the canteen, I know you both were there to meet Laura Nichols, who's the head of Academy Operations, and Jenna Burke-Martin, who's the head of the women's game. They have to take a lot of the credit for what we've got here today. I push the boundaries and ask the questions at times, and quite often get told no by those two people as the bosses. But I think, yeah, it's far beyond just me what you see here today, and the access that the women get and the way they're treated as professional players, and is fantastic. And it's down to probably those two individuals. And again, speaking probably further afield than that, we've got Jenny Wilkes as a chairwoman. She's been a real advocate for the women and pushing those boundaries down over the last few years. Steve Cullis, who I mentioned before, but also the people within the club who's helped make it happen. You know, the chairman and the sporting director, they've obviously welcomed us. John Hunter Barrett as the academy manager. So there's a lot of people that have accepted the women and helped us grow the programme over the last few years. So it's been a real team effort, and that one pack mentality that Wolves often refer to, I think that's been a key part of making it all work.
Okay.
Can you talk us through the youth set up at Wolves Woman? I mean, what is the structure and the pathway? I like.
Okay, so we have we start at under 10s. So we've got under 10s, under 12s, under 14s, under 16s, under 21s, and then the women's first team. So that's what the pathway looks like. And what we try and do here at Wolves, we're really keen on producing our own players. So when we played against Brighton in the fifth round of the FA Cup this year, which was obviously a huge moment for the club, 50% of the team were actually from the youth setup. So they may not have come right the way through, but they started or they been a part of the youth pathway right the way through. So that's real success for us. We're never going to be a club that's got millions of pounds like certain clubs to go and spend money on players. We want to try and produce our own. And with regards to the structure and the setup of the women's team, so we're slowly building that up year on year. You know, there's some good teams within our league now, and we have to try and keep up with them to keep the girls fit and ready to perform. So the girls train on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and a Friday, evenings and afternoons, gym sessions included in that. And then obviously play the games on a Sunday. So their days off are Mondays and Saturdays. Some of them don't have days off. We have to really push them to stop because some of them are that determined to be professional footballers that they don't like break.
And you have to go over there and scold them going, if you overwork yourself and burn out, you're going to get us all in trouble.
Exactly that, mate. Yeah, some of them are just the you know, the Duracell bunny on that advert where they just keep going and going and going. Well, eventually they will wear out. So yeah, you're absolutely right. We have to control their loading, and that's where my physical performance coach, Nathan Maxfield, he's in charge of that. And you'll often see now the girls are running around with a pod on the back. So everything they do, every run, every sprint, everything they do is tracked and monitored. So we can tell when they're getting close to where they need to stop. And then we can obviously rein them in. And then we have to trust them because they've got to go home at some times. We can't watch them all the time. And we've got to trust that they don't do anything in the garden.
You could call someone that lives there and tell them that they're trying to overwork themselves, exactly, keep an eye on them. Though I doubt they'd appreciate it if you told them that.
Yeah, exactly.
I doubt they'd appreciate it if you told them who they live with that.
Have you ever managed or coached in the men's game? If not, is it something you'd consider?
So I started when I was over in Lincolnshire, RAF Conersby. I actually was with Boston United, so I was with their under-13s team in the academy. So I did do a little bit of work there. I've done a little bit with the military team. So one of my good friends, Carl Milgate, he gave me a little bit of access to the under-23s, and we did some work with the men's under-23s a few years back, but most of my work has come in the female game so far. I'd never say I won't go to the men's game. I don't think it's something that I would never consider. However, it's not an aspiration of mine at the minute. I really enjoy the field that I'm working in. You know, the women's game is a fantastic area to be working as a coach, and I'm really proud to be part of something that's grown so much over the last sort of 10 years. I think it's the fastest growing sport of the last few years, isn't it? You see the amount of access that schools are getting now for young females to play. You've seen our crowds growing week on week. You see Arsenal filling out the Emirates last weekend to play their game. So it's amazing to be part of the female game at the minute. So my focus is on trying to grow that at Wolves, and anything beyond that will happen for the right reasons. As I said to you before, sometimes you have to take risks, and maybe something will come up in the future, but at the minute it's a female game for me.
You got promoted in 2017 to Division 1 of the National League Northern Premier. Sorry. What are your memories of that?
Amazing. So the way that season fell was pretty special, to be honest. So obviously we'd just been promoted out of Division 1, as you said, and it was our first opportunity to really test ourselves in the Northern Premier League. So we went in with no pressure. There was no pressure on the girls, and we just we set our target on getting 20 points to start with. We wanted to just get 20 points to ensure that we didn't get relegated. And after sort of a few games, we reached 20 points quite quickly. So we then set our sights on 30 points. And then after 30 points, we thought, hang on a minute, we're top of the league here and we might be able to do something special. So we just focused on the next game, and obviously in the end we ended up winning it the first time of asking, which was amazing. You know, that's an unbelievable feeling. I think towards the end of the season I got news that I was going away with the military, so I was flying off to the Falkland Islands, which wasn't great timing. You know, that was quite an upsetting time for me personally, but also for the group, because I didn't want to miss the playoff, which would come at the end of that season. But I think it fell really nicely that we celebrated the league win against Sheffield at AFC Wilfronians on the Sunday, and I think I flew to the Falkland Islands on the Wednesday that followed. So to get that opportunity to win the league and win the trophy with the girls and share that moment is something that will stay with me forever, and I'm just thankful I didn't have to miss that to go and visit the Penguins down in MPA.
Mm. So, what's the one question you would never, ever answer?
Oh. I'm not too sure. I'm sure you've got a tricky one coming up, though, by the sound of your voice.
No, I just enjoy asking questions like this and putting people in.
Oh, right,
okay.
The one question.
Yeah.
I can't really think of... What's the one question that you would like me to answer, which I might not? There you go. I'll turn it round. See, it's hard when you get put on the spot, isn't it?
I personally don't like asking people questions they don't want to answer.
Okay, that's a great answer. That's a really good answer, and I think it's important that we probably respect when people don't want to answer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think if any of these questions I don't want to answer, I'm just not going to answer.
The only time I get pushy with questions is if I'm worried about that person.
Okay, that's a good trait to have, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm a big believer in listening is more important. Mm-hmm. I think if you can become comfortable with silence, you often get more out of people, don't you? So if we were to sit here now in silence, who do you think would talk first?
Me.
So you're not comfortable with silence then?
Unless I'm watching something or interested in something, I'm doing something, I just cannot keep in silence. I can't do it.
Do you remember that one time we listened to my podcast where you got very awkward asking about that question? Do you remember who that was? Yeah, so it was Sam Allardyce. And we asked him about his England career and managing.
Yeah,
and
we were quickly shut down after being told he was legally unable to answer.
Oh, right.
Scarred you for life, isn't it, Alyssa?
Yeah, ever since then. And I look at a death glare Adam here when I read a question, and I think we might be getting a little too close to a sore spot.
How have you had to change your management style to manage women compared to men, and what different things do you have to think about managing in women to men?
Love a great question, that is. I think we have to understand the game's different, so the game's completely different, but we also have to understand that women and men are completely different as well, that the needs of both are a lot different. I think the women's team want to understand why a lot more. So if we ask them to do something within a training session, or we ask them to do something within a game, as long as they understand why you want them to do it. So that might be, for example, one of the players, we want her to be really aggressive and go and attack down the right-hand side. Well, as long as we explain that that's an area we feel that the opposition are quite weak and we think she can have loads of success down there, then she'll happily do it. So understanding the why is definitely something that the females like. And I think another side of it is females often take everything quite literal. So we have to give them...
We do not.
We have to give them a lot of freedom to be quite creative. Although we're asking them to do certain things, we also want them to understand that they're very good football players, so they make their own decisions within the game, and they don't have to do everything that we ask them to do every time they get it. Whereas I think in the boys' game, they're a lot more creative within themselves. They, if they get asked to do something, they'll just go and do it. They maybe don't need to know the why as much. Loads of differences, and I think as long as we understand that the game's completely different, it works.
How has the women's game developed over recent years?
Very quickly. I think we've started to see a lot more money come into the game, which has obviously helped. We've seen a lot more fan engagement, which is helped. We've seen the England team having all their success within the World Cup and the Euros, which again has massively helped. I'm a big believer of if you can see it, you can be it. So if we can provide opportunities for young players, young female players, to see their idols and to see what can be achieved, then that gives them something to aim for and aspire to be. So I think just the sheer amount of interest is probably the biggest thing. People want to see the game grow now, and everybody's pulling together to pull in the right direction and make it happen. So hopefully it'll continue over the next few years, and we can see Wolves climbing that ladder even further from a personal sort of point of view. That's what we want to see, and we can bring some more Women's Championship or Women's Super League to the West Midlands.
How have you developed the club and the relationship with the men's team?
Again, that's a really good question, but it's one that's further than just myself. I think the access that the girls get here now to sort of have some of the same opportunities as the men is amazing. You know, we talk about some of the medical aspects that we get, some of the recovery opportunities we get, the gym access that we get to use the facilities with. You know, only last year, you'll both probably remember Diego Costa, who used to be here. He used to play football tennis with the girls every Wednesday and Friday in the gym. And so it was amazing to see both groups coming together to support each other and ultimately just try and be professional footballers. And I think that often changes with different managers that come in. Obviously, at the minute, it's Gary O'Neill, and Gary and his staff are amazing. And we often pass in the corridor, and he'll be asking questions about how the women's team are doing and taking an interest in that. So really good to have that sort of great open relationship right across the football club. It makes you feel part of it. It makes you feel wanted, whether that's a female player or whether that's me as the manager. And we're really thankful for those opportunities, because I know that doesn't happen at a lot of clubs. A lot of clubs aren't as open and quite closed off with regards to relationships between the men and the women. So we're really lucky here at Wolves that we do have the opportunity to get some insight into how the men work.
Is it true you used to have to buy the football socks out of your own money for the team?
So there's a lot of probably things that used to happen when I first came in, because what we have to understand is when I first came here, we were part of the foundation, and the foundation is obviously the charity arm of the football club. So finances weren't readily available. We all. You know, as I said, the foundation is a charity that's ran as part of the club, and we operated as part of them. So we often used to try and give the girls the best we could within a really limited budget. And sometimes I used to have to buy some Yazoos or some Lucozade for the girls for after the match, because what I tried to do was create a really professional environment with really limited funds, and you know, that's why probably early on we had a lot of success, because we tried to give them everything we could that they weren't used to. I think just before I got here, the women's team used to play in the kits that were handed down from the men's team from the previous year. So for them now to be wearing the same kits as the men do, and the same training kits and the same travel kits, and getting all the opportunities they do now, it's unbelievable to see. So I'm sure you can agree the journey that we've come from when I first came in 2018 to be sat here now at Compton is absolutely amazing. It's one we're really proud of.
Okay. You must have travelled to a lot of places and spent a lot of time with your friends. Can you recall any pranks and who were the biggest jokers in your team?
Oh, in the team. So there's been quite a few pranksters, to be honest. I think Jimmy La Palma was always one that was always quite funny. Yeah, she always wanted to have laughs and jokes within the changing rooms. I'm trying to think now who the biggest sort of pranksters are now. There's been quite a few. I think Merrick Will, who works as part of the operations team here now, she likes to have a laugh and a joke. She's probably the one who rings a bell at the minute. But yeah, we've been on some really, really good trips away with the girls, you know, especially we've had our overnight stays, which are often a really good way to bond as a group. I think some of the things we've done within the from my military experiences, so we did some low ropes courses at RAF Cosford, and I think Billy Haynes, who's now playing down at Swindon Town, she was one that was full of jokes, and she used to be a real joker within the group. So yeah, there's quite a few memories that I can recall on and good experiences that we've had together. But yeah, hopefully there's many more to come.
Okay, we just want to stop with the questions about your career for a moment and set those aside. A player, would you rather game? You up for that?
Yeah, no problem.
Night in or night out?
Oh, night in now.
Okay, beach holiday or city break?
I like my city breaks. I'm going to say city break.
Okay. Would you rather talk to animals or speak every language?
Well, I'm learning Spanish at the minute, so speak every language.
Okay. Would you rather explore space or explore the bottom of the ocean? Not that makes much difference. Neither one has oxygen.
I'm an ocean person. I love the ocean.
Would you rather go forward to 200 years and see your future family, or go back 200 years and meet your ancestors?
I would definitely go back.
Okay.
And you played Southampton in the playoffs final to get into Women's Super League Division 2 and sadly lost. You weren't able to attend this game. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, so as I said to you before, I think one of your earlier questions talked about the season that we did win it. And obviously I was then posted away to the Falkland Islands for a 4-month detachment that I needed to do for the RAF. And obviously the Southampton game came 3 weeks after I'd gone. So the RAF did everything to try and get me back, even though it is a 19-hour flight. They tried to get me back, but down in the Falkland Islands, especially in the winter, the weather is very, very bad. So I can remember waking up on the day I was meant to fly and the snow had been falling. And unfortunately, the winds were too high for the plane to take off. So that was a hard thing for me to take, having worked so hard to get to that point where we were within touching distance of professional football and making people's dreams. It was a tough one to take. So I can remember I watched that game 8 minutes behind live, because the internet is not very good in the Falkland Islands. And I sat in one of the internet booths and I was on the phone to Hugh McCluskey, who's my goalkeeper coach, and I was watching the screen and it was 8 minutes behind, and I can remember Hugh telling me that I might not want to watch the next bit, and I had to wait 8 minutes to see what he was talking about. Yeah, so it wasn't my finest moment. It's not something that I'll look back on with the fondest memories, but to get there and to see the girls giving everything for the football club, and obviously again coming through adversity, they went down to 10 players after 44 minutes. So to go out and represent the club the way they did in the second half was amazing to see. And unfortunately, we just couldn't find that goal to potentially take it to extra time. But yeah, it's not something I'll remember fondly. But it was probably the most difficult thing I've had to deal with in football so far.
On a personal level, what would you say is the biggest achievement of your career so far?
I think probably winning Tier 3. Winning Tier 3 and getting to that Championship playoff, it has to be that one. That's a big standout. But I think understanding as well the journey that we've been on in 6 years. So it's a toss-up between where we are now to where we were and probably winning Tier 3. Those are the two standouts and the biggest achievements.
Okay. What advice would you give a young girl that wants to get into football?
Never give up. I think whether that's football, or whether that's life in general, whether that's a job, whether that's a career you want, I think never giving up and utilising what I said earlier. You know, life is full of adversity, and those that go on to succeed are the ones that can deal with that disappointment in the moment, but still stay focused on the challenge ahead. And the young girls that are coming through now, I've got amazing opportunities to really see careers within football. So if you want something badly enough, then you will achieve it. Nobody can stop you from achieving anything you want.
And we haven't played at, I'm going to butcher this, Molineux this season. Is there a plan for it to happen?
Yeah, so amazingly, it's actually came out about 2 hours ago. So we Laura Nichols, the head of Academy Operations, she was on a podcast this morning with Gemma, who we met earlier on, the media lady, and they've just announced we're playing the Black Country Derby on Friday the 22nd of March. That's a 7:45 kickoff. That'll be under the lights, and we are really looking forward to that. You know, we've got a good record at Molineux. We're hoping to get a couple of thousand people in there, or maybe beat our highest attendance, which I think was 5,000. So start of half term, hopefully we can fill it as much as we can. I'm hoping you two are going to be there, and we can hopefully get a good result against our arch rivals in the Black Country Derby.
How does it feel to have beaten West Brom women 5-9 times in a row? Obviously not too great for them.
9 times in a row.
Oh my God. So I think that's a record that, again, we're really proud of. When I first came to the football club, I didn't truly understand what that Black Country Derby meant, to be honest. I can remember a fan quite early on in my managerial career here saying to me, "Do not lose Black Country Derbies." And I lost my first one. We lost 2-1 away from home. And then since then, I think we've won every one.
Yeah, so, you've kicked our butts
multiple times. Yeah, so as you said, 9 times on the run is a really good record for us, and it's a great opportunity.
I would be surprised if that team's scared of you now.
Well, yeah, I don't think we're the favourite team to play, but listen, West Brom are improving every year now. We played them a couple of weeks ago and we beat them very late on. That went to penalties. But, you know, we've got an opportunity in 2 Fridays' time at Molineux to make it 10 on the bounce. I don't think that's ever happened before. So we'll certainly be aiming for that to happen.
Cross your fingers and try not to get too ahead of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched the game that you're talking about. I was so bored. I was like, can this game be over? I've got things to do. Oh, my God.
That's not very good feedback for the girls, is it?
No, but the main thing is, like, when things go into penalties, I always get bored.
Yeah,
Because normally I like watching people run around and see what they do. When it goes into penalties, that's just turned into kicking a ball.
I'll be honest with you, mate. I'll be really honest with you, mate. I wasn't particularly happy with the performance in that game either, especially being 2-0 down after 6 minutes. So I can absolutely see where you're coming from. And there was moments where I was bored as well. So we'll let you off with that one.
Okay, thanks.
I have heard from someone that you like to join in with the training with the team. You any good?
I don't know who's been sharing those rumours. I'll join in at times. Normally on a Tuesday when we have a little bit of a competitive finish to the session. And I think the girls will tell you I'm probably the best in there, to be honest. I score, all the girls want me on their team. I score all the goals.
Maybe we'll find some of them and see what they think.
No, just take my word for it.
Sorry, we prefer to get both sides of the story.
How did it feel to be
drawn
on against the WSL side in the FA Cup?
Yeah, the FA Cup this year has been a bit of history for us, and obviously to be drawn against Brighton was amazing. You know, it's to be in the fifth round for the first time for a long time was unbelievable, especially with the finances that you get with the FA Cup this year. I think we earn a really good amount of money, which is going to help us keep progressing. But to get a Super League team is what you want. You know, we want to be testing ourselves against the best people in the country. And the girls got to do that. You know, there was World Cup winners within that squad. There was England Lionesses within the Brighton squad. There was England under 23 girls. There was Colombian internationals, South Korean internationals. So to test yourself against those kind of players is amazing. And for me as a manager to be up against another WSL manager in Mikey Harris and Perry North East, who I know well, it was amazing. You know, the whole day was amazing, and you know, to get our goal in front of 1,800 people was incredible. It's probably one of those memories I'll never forget. We all got an opportunity to celebrate, so yeah, it was fantastic, and that's probably one of the standout moments you were talking about before. I think that's probably one of the ones I'll never forget.
Okay, before I ask this question, I have to know, does the name Jenny Anslow ring a bell?
No, I don't think so. No, of course it does, yeah. Jen's a legend here at Wolves Women, isn't she? What a player she was.
How good was she? She's a teacher at our school. And what would she like to manage?
Jen was very strong-minded, which is good. Jen had full confidence in her ability, which again reflected in her performances on the pitch. She was a very, very good player, and probably had to step away a little too early than she would have liked because of her knees. She had a couple of bad knee injuries, but even before I came in as manager, everybody knew about Jen Anslow. I know she'd spent a period at Derby, she'd been at Wolves prior, and yeah, she was a top player, a wonder of a left foot, it was sad to see her go, to be honest. It was sad to see her go. She used to be able to deliver that football into the box from anywhere with that left foot, so what a player.
You said hi.
Yeah, I'll say hi myself, if that's all right. But no, yeah, she's a really good character as well.
It doesn't look like the club holds sessions for children with autism through the foundation. Can you have a word, please? There are pupils at our school that would love it.
Yeah, no, I can definitely have a word with the foundation, yeah. So I've got to be honest, I'm not fully aware of all the sessions that get offered within the foundation, but that's certainly something I can take back to the foundation. And what I will say, if it doesn't, then I'll speak to Adam and maybe I can pop in at some point, and maybe I'll be the one that comes and give you a session, whether that's football or just general sport or whatever. If you can invite me in, I'll come and do so. But if you're rubbish, you'll be doing press ups. That's how I work.
We can try. I played a little when I was younger. But I haven't played much ever since with a bad history of footballs, thinking my head's a goalpost.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've got a question for Adam real quick.
Yep.
It was the pupils that really want, the really like football and want to get in. Are you talking about me?
Well, there's lots of students.
Anna Price, I think it is the current club captain. She hasn't played too much this season. But how vital has she been to Wolves throughout her career?
When we talk about legends at Wolves, I think Anna Price will always be talked about. She's an amazing football player, but an amazing person, an even better person. And she will, as I said, she'll be spoken about for Wolves for a long, long time. I think she's been here for 25, 26 years now. A little bit of a break for university in that, but Anna is everything this football club is about. The values that she holds and the way she applies herself to everyday life is you know, it's everything the club's about. So she's still a massive part. You know, she hasn't played the minutes that she probably hoped to this year, but Anna knows where she's at now within her career, and she understands that the game has come really far quite quickly, and there's a lot of young players now who are fighting to get within the squad. And but listen, Anna's the club captain for a reason. She's vital to being that support mechanism for the girls. A lot of the girls still lean on her to for her experience and to help them through their difficult moments. And I can't envisage a Wolves women without her at the minute. I don't think any of us want to. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no way Anna won't be a part of it in some capacity going forward, and she deserves that. So whatever that looks like in the future is probably to be discussed. But yeah, Perks is an amazing person, and whatever happens while I'm here, she'll always have an open door policy to come and go as she pleases, and to help us with the next generation of the footballers.
One of our listeners sent in a question and asked, can you sign Nat Gilway from Beardley Town Ladies, please?
Okay, so what was the name again?
Nat Galway.
Okay, so we'll get someone out to have a look at Nat, see if she's good, and we'll get her in. Yeah, and see what she's about.
We're in the home stretch now of the podcast.
is this for the question I've been waiting for?
Yes. Every week on the podcast, we ask guests to ask questions to one another. So we get our guest to ask a question, but they have no idea who the question is going to be for. This week's question comes from our previous guest, GB hockey player, Shona McCallan. And she asks, who is your favourite presenter of our podcast?
Oh my days. That is
I've been laughing about this the entire time you've been set.
That's a hard question. Yeah, I think I've got to say both. I can't choose one, can I?
Okay.
Yeah, can't choose one. I think you've both got really good attributes to host podcasts. I think you've both been fantastic today, so I definitely can't choose one. It's got to be both of you.
Thanks.
And could you do the same, please? Can you sing another question for our next guest, please? But we aren't going to tell you who the guest is. The question can be anything you want.
Oof. So, my question for the next guest would be, what's their favourite meal? There you go. What's their favourite meal?
Okay. I would just like to say a big thank you again to everyone who listens to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Please continue to leave reviews and pass on our podcast to your friends and family. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today, Dan. We really enjoyed speaking with you, and it means so much to us as a school to have the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you.
No, thanks to you two for coming in. It's been amazing, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
The TWS Sports Podcast combines autism and sport. This unique podcast is hosted by children with autism, and each week they interview famous sportsmen and women from around the world. The TWS Sports Podcast takes you deep into the sports star's career, their highs and lows, what happens away from the field of play, and so much more. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other podcast apps. The TWS Sports Podcast, where autism and sports combine.